person. It was actually, I felt that it was a donation given to us because he gave the money in such a way he never wanted. I said, we can't give a mortgage. We don't want the money in check. Must be cash. No, all that condition be accepted because somehow or other he thought that we were coming to power. This gentleman who gave us the money. He gave us 1.5 lakhs on a promote. And the promote was signed by me. Not by Mr. Mandan, and I didn't know it was signed by me.
So, and he felt that he was going to come into power. That's very unusual because even Mr. Bandanaya told
him. Yes. Mr. Bandanaya was not sure at all, you see. In fact, I was surer than Mr. Bandanaya. Mr. Bandanaya told me one day, Eti, if we get 25 to 30 seats, I think we ought to be quite happy because then we will be in a bargaining position. I said, but not what are you talking? We are coming in with an absolute majority and able to form a government. How do you know? I said, all right, you better wait. You can see. Because I used to go to these meetings, Mr. Mandan Nayak, not to every meeting, then whole of foreign area I used to go to meeting, but I used to get report. Report to me. I had five people who had their own cars with their drive themselves. I used to encourage them, go to certain place, just cover the certain such. These two constituents, three constituents, they come back and tell me what the position is. So they used to be distributed all over. They used to come and tell me. And sometimes, they came and tell me, once they came and told me, we put in a candidate for, against the John, that Duranga slander. They were expected to win. Somebody came and told, sir, we say that they're likely to win if you give him a little support. So, what we wanted is to corner Kathalawala. So then question like that, I went by, I didn't believe it. I went myself. Early morning I started here at about 4 o'clock. Got there by about 6:30, had the tea on the way, and two other people, and up and waiting for them to go through. The sir was fighting him, fighting hard. So then, that time I went over to Damulla. Damulla was also throwed a candidate, just because he wanted to throw the candidate against the bank called Tenne. Tenne was considered to be all powerful.
Okay.
But when I was going along the road, I found Kenne in his baby of his car, you see, going in a drain. The road is full of people before I go in the drain. So I knew the situation was changing in our favor. So I went up to some people known to me. Then they told me, sir, don't worry, we are winning. Our candidate is an ordinary person. He said, we will deliver. We are winning. We invite the candidate. Now there are 3 meetings. I want you to attend this. I said, yes, now. I attended just the 3 meetings. So only after when I attended the 3rd meeting, the candidate came there. So, like that, I used to go. All of a sudden, when I heard something, I used to go there. But here and there. So I made a situation. Mr. Mandanaya used to address meetings, and he just knew what is happening behind. For an attendance. And Matikoma constituency. Therefore, I went and attended every meeting.
Okay.
He decides, and somebody else from the area decides, and he sees the principal speak. So I mixed myself in the crowd just to find out what the position is. I was known to people as foreigner. Matikoma I was not known. So then I found the situation. And when we went to about September 10 meetings in the area, 10 or 12 meetings, came to Matikoma at 12 o'clock at night, 2 o'clock at in the morning, which means nothing to eat, nothing to drink. So, even then, they were expecting, Mr. Mandanaya was expected at 10 o'clock. From 10 o'clock till the time he came, there was an enormous crowd, easily about 50,000 people, easily. So, the sovereign people, so these things told me that we are well on the way. And I told him, don't worry. All right, I said, but I waited the first day. Mm-hmm.
But isn't it correct to say that your party organization was very loose? You didn't have strong branches in many areas.
No, we are not. We didn't. We had no time to organize.
Okay. Do you have any branches at all before the election? Take 1955,
yes.
1 year before the election.
Yes.
Did you have party branches in...
We had party branches here and there, but party branches have got to be formed by the members of parliament themselves. We had only 6 members. in Parliament. And the only person who formed Parliament otherwise is myself, Paisu Kanabang.
So apart from the members of Parliament, in other areas you didn't have party branches?
We didn't have.
A few?
Oh yes, we didn't have. A number of places we didn't have. But Matulam, for instance, we didn't have. And that was close to my area. Agalavarta, we didn't have. That was also close to my area. And my thing, whatever to heat that you want, you see. And unfortunately, Mr. Bandana couldn't go to any place. I used to go.
Mm-hmm.
But only, there are only 5 or 6 of us who have to.
But isn't it correct to say that from organization point of view, administration point of view, Mr. Bandana, that is not Mr. Bandana's strong point. He tended to neglect details.
Organization is not strong. Organization, none of these robot patterns, not even the SNI, that has happened well by other people. Organization we couldn't do. We could not organize it at all. I had to do all the organization.
Mm-hmm. What led before I asked to get there, some more about the election nearing. Isn't it correct to say that you were rather short of candidates and you found it difficult to choose good people?
Yeah. That is why when people have some expecting people like Dhanayake and Philip Gunavadana and I guess that's it. Part didn't have sufficient, candidates of a sufficient caliber forward. But it was only afterwards that people started coming after Gunavadana. In fact, some of the people, they were UMP people took it very easy. They thought they'd come back, come to power. How can they party just 3.5 years to come to power? They did not. But actually, best friend we had was Mr. Sajanan Kulan and Ethan.
He created enemies.
Oh, he created terribleness. In later on, I said, why did he put forward a candidate against him? We did corner him. Last week, he stuck there. But it was a good thing for the UMP that he didn't go to the meeting. You see, everywhere he went. He's quite so.
Yes, if he was sure of his constituency, he would have gone and spoiled the show in no
way. Oh, yeah, he spoiled everything. And got more things for us.
What led Mr. Bernard Alvihare to leave in 1955?
1956. Yes, 1956. Just before election. Mm-hmm. Very good friend of mine, he was. He was put on by Sir Richard. Sir Richard, there were some Muslims there. There were some Muslims who confirmed UMP people. So, they were told me, Sir Richard was his brother. Sir Richard, I think he got a lot of influence over him. So one day, he rang me up. I'm coming from breakfast to your place. I said, certainly, come along. What have you got? I said, we have got hotels and fish tools and mutton curry and various things. I can't take. So my wife was also very interested in politics. So she used to keep in touch with the current event. So this man said, I'm going to resign from the party.
Don't do that.
And my wife jumped and messed up and told people. He went and wrote my letter and told me.
Was he leaving partly because of the influence of the Bhasha Perumana and the language communal business?
He was got wrong. He got wrong by the UMP supporters, especially his father. Very good.
What is remarkable about the SLFP victory was that in 52,
1952.
The elections there.
Yes.
You didn't do too well. The SLFP didn't do very well in 1952.
No.
Then in 1955, I know there was a by-election in Aluthnuwara.
That's right.
And it's a rural area.
Yes.
Yet you came third behind the LSSP. But 56 you swept the polls.
Yes.
How do you 1 year later, how do you explain the quick change?
Well, for one thing, we had no organization there at all. So we had to, during the election, we had to form the organization and fight the election.
55? No.
52. By-election. Alutthura by-election. We had no organization whatsoever. Mainly because we had got a man called Palagolla. And he said, Mr. Bandarnaki believed him. He said he had got a lot of influence, the whole area. He had got a lot of influence, all our relations are in. But on the nomination day, Mr. Bandarnaki wanted me to go to Bangalore. So I went. I went to Bangalore to present this fellow. And he gave it to me. I said, I say, Palagolla, you better see me in the restaurant before I leave. So I will discuss with you, but you have to organize that you are going to put in. So, if you have nothing yet to do, you better come and have lunch with me. No, sir, my mother and mother are also there. You are going to have lunch at my sister's. I said, all right, come off lunch. So he came. Then he said, as you hear, this election is like Athanagalle to Mr. Bandaranaike for me. I said, why did he say that? Oh, they said, Tennapangu, that is some particular area. That is all migration, they know all what it is. I said, look here, Palagolla, don't talk like that. The people of Athanagalle vote for Mr. Bandaranaike now, not because he is his father's son, but on his own merits, on his own situation. I think they like him, the work that he has done with the constituency and all that. He packed in touch with every constituency. If you are going to depend upon your relations, I can tell you this much, I think. Your relations will be the first people to go against you, I think. That is my experience, I think. That's my experience. So I said, now I feel that the mistake you have put you forward, I said. Because you think you will be thinking things very easy. So I went and told Mr. Bandarnaike, I said, now we have given me 1,000 rupees only. Let us withdraw him. We lose only 1,000 rupees. It was not together. He like never been.
What was his job and his social background?
He used to sort of a land of practice. And he used to spend most of his time in some hotels in Colombo and talking politics, which he did not know. It is totally unfit for it. But he put up a big show. And when he went there, he said he could spend about 10,000 rupees. He couldn't spend 1,000 rupees. And I found that Mr. Bandaranaike would not have to let me withdraw and let us fight it out and see. That is how the first thing, we got a very bad candidate. The second thing, we had to fight against Sama Samaj because Jack
Kotalawala.
Kotalawala. He was influential. Very influential. Yeah. The higher classes were for the UNP. And the other classes were for the SLSP. We had no
LSSP.
We had no organization whatsoever. Mm-hmm.
I suppose in choosing candidates, even in 56 and in 1960,
mm-hmm.
in choosing candidates, you always had to take into account the caste factor and to have a majority caste man.
That is maybe during the... Even now it is so in certain areas, but not in all areas.
Is it correct to say that now it's less important than it was, say, in 47, 36?
47?
In 1947 and 1936. Was caste more important?
1947? I believe so, even at that time.
But then Wilmot Pereira defeated CWW.
But of course... Wilmot Pereira was considered to be a progressive man, and CWW was reactionary.
But it means that lots of G people voted for Wilmot.
And Wilmot Pereira spent a lot of money also.
Now, what constituencies did you represent from 47? In 47 it was Horana.
Then in 52, I crossed over from the party and joined Mr. Bandarnaike
I felt that I shouldn't understand. I myself made them UNP. Now I have that, and I cannot take it if it occurs. That's my own place, my own native place. I was born and born there, and I live there. So I thought I can contest anything. I had some interest there, and also I had some relation there, contact. But I lost that, 1952.
Sri Bhavani.
Didn't you know this Kanangara?
Kanangara.
Chamsilva also got defeated, I also got defeated. Chamsilva got defeated earlier, in the by-election.
You had to put your own money for that election?
Yes.
Did you, who were the people who supported you in Agarwatta?
Kalapi had just been formed only, So we had no money at all. I never asked any money for money. He spent whatever money I had in my wife had.
Who were the local people who helped you?
Local people are all the Mudalali and various people were against me. But the other Gobiya, the school teacher, some of the school teachers.
And in 56, where do you come forward?
Then I was in the Senate.
Ah, yes,
in 55, I came to the Senate. You must be in the Senate.
Then you would have time to organize the...
I wanted to contest Forum in 1956, but Mr. Mandarai said, no, I want you to be there, and one of us must be free. You must be free to conduct the campaign. Run the machinery from Karam.
What type of people did you have as MPs in 56? What background? Rural background?
Mostly rural background.
Were they bilingual and could they speak both English and Sinhalese, or were they mostly Sinhalese speaking?
What?
Were they mostly Sinhalese speaking,
yes,
MPs or...
Even Muslims. Even Muslims.
No, I know you had,
yes,
some Muslims.
Yes.
But taking the Sinhalese,
yes,
MPs and Sinhalese candidates,
yes,
from your party,
yes,
were they proficient in English as well as Sinhalese? Were they fluent speakers in both English and Sinhalese, or was it only in Sinhalese?
Most in Sinhalese. Most people who supported them.
Yes.
Most
in Sinhalese. Not in people. I think of the candidates.
Candidates. No.
The
candidates. Oh, candidates were most of the most Sinhalese people.
That means they wouldn't have been very much at home speaking English. They would have found it rather difficult.
Yeah, difficult. Now people like T.B. Temukon and Dambulla people, Somavira Chandrasri, quite a large number of them were Sinhalese speakers. They knew English, but not known, they were not known for their fluency in English.
Mm-hmm. But wouldn't it be correct to say that the majority of MPs,
yes,
who got in 56, could only speak a bit of English, and they would have found it difficult to speak in English in Parliament, or even to understand some of the English.
There were a good few who could talk in English, but some of them couldn't talk much
in English.
Very few.
I'm very interested in your experience as a parliamentary, as junior minister, and then as a minister.
Yes.
In the UNP days, you said you were a parliamentary...
Parliament secretary of the Ministry of Posts and Telecommunications and Broadcasting.
Oh, they had several ministers,
huh? Mr. Chittambaram.
Throughout?
No, he was the minister.
Uh-huh.
He was the ex-civil servant. He was the minister. He came in for a seat in Jaffna.
How did you find him as a minister?
Very good. But at that time, not much chance of giving the parliamentary secretary to train himself.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever a minister went abroad or he took leave, the function was handed over to the other minister, or the prime minister himself took it over. Mr. Bandarna was the first person to allow the parliamentary secretary to act.
Mm-hmm. Then in 56, you would have been minister of home affairs till,
yes,
1960.
56.
Did you find it difficult to get to know your subject? You must have had lots of duties.
Yes, at the beginning, I had to depend upon my permanent secretary. In important matters, I went to consult with another man. I wouldn't act on my own important matters till I gained sufficient experience. Permanent secretary was a good man at the time. One meet S.C. Fernandez. Very good man.
Yes, in fact, I'm very interested in the relations between ministers and permanent secretaries.
Very good. Very good. Some people felt, some outside felt, that some of the permanent secretaries were more as UMP people, and they were sort of trying to obstruct. If so, I don't know. I didn't come across any such thing. My permanent secretary is very good.
But looking at the other permanent secretaries, even those you didn't have direct contact with, did you feel that some of them were trying to block your government policies?
I personally did not feel myself, but some of the other ministers were telling me that they are not pulling their full weight.
But the question is, this is a very difficult question to determine. Say a minister proposes something.
Yes.
The permanent secretary, quite honestly, might feel that this is not good, and therefore he might raise objections.
Yeah, you know, and he can raise objections with the minister, and he can point out. But if it is that he does not like the policy, he has no business to lay down the policy. Policy is entirely for the minister, entirely for the minister. Policy. But with regard to the particular procedure adopted, or with regard to the way it is being done, you see, the permanent secretary can advise. You see, I don't think this is the way proper to it.
Yes. So, but sometimes there's a danger that when a minister when a permanent secretary quite honestly raises some objections with a view to choosing some other alternative procedure or method, the minister might think, oh, this chap is trying to block us, you see.
Yes.
How can one distinguish between hindrance, you know, and honest criticism?
But if, for instance, the minister makes a decision on the particular certain matter, and asks the permanent to carry it out, if he instead of taking a shortcut, if he then takes a particular step, that's one way showing that he's not cooperating with the minister. That's one way. And the other way is he can always. There are ways and ways of delaying things, you see. And if you ask him to drop it, have your papers got it? He goes on day to day and minister forgets it. Then what is very urgent in him, I'll say, call him up, have you drafted that? No, sir, I didn't have the time or something like that. I draft it. How long will it take? It might take, you must do it today itself, I don't know, sir, whether I will do it today. But certainly by tomorrow morning, even if. Even if you ask, you might say,
delay.
That way,
you can. I had a chat with Colvina about this, and he says that he doesn't believe in this theory that permanent secretaries and heads of departments can give honest service to a government or to a policy with which they are not in complete agreement.
Yes.
He says that in implementing laws, you're automatically interpreting it.
Yes.
And you will probably interpret it against the permanent secretary might interpret it in such a way that it will undermine government policy. If he doesn't like the policy, he'll interpret it in such a way that it won't be in accordance with that policy.
Yes, he can do that. If he sympathies are not with that. With the political party to which the governing at that time, then he can adopt that.
But what is the answer to that? You can't always have administrators who are in sympathy with the government.
Not always. So, but there are some permanent secretaries who are not politicians. All that they do is they support whatever leader who comes in honestly and sincerely implement his policies.
Or you think there are many who can work with any government?
No, my general secretary, Mr. Stephen M., he was one like that. He was never worried about what political party it was. What was the minister? What he do? But if some of them, now I always consulted the government secretary. I said, yes, you see, discuss the matter with him before I'm doing that.
There has been a criticism of some permanent secretaries.
Yes.
On the ground, they always agree with the minister and they swing with the party. You see, they don't, they say, see that this is wrong. They don't say no, they say yes. Yes. Just two. No, to get on the good side of the minister.
Oh, some of them may do it. But then that's not very useless. I always like the permanent secretary to argue with me.
And Shelton Fernando used to argue.
Who is it? Who is it? Point out it. Argue with me, not him. And he said, well, sir, it is like this. And point out his full point of view quietly.
I'm also very interested in the troubles at Galloya in 1956.
Who?
Troubles at Galloya. There were some communal fight Galloya in 1956 itself.
Yes.
How did that arise?
I think, of course, at the time when there is sufficient number of single people going to colonize there. They were all colonized. They come in and the Tamil people found that what they considered as their reserve was being removed. Was being removed. So they did not like it.
Mm-hmm.
Now even the Muslims in Dalla area, they sympathize with Tamil government. But Muslims in Dalla area, they resented the single people in there. That's only the Tamil people. There are a large number of Sinhalese.
I was wondering whether in 56, these Galloya trade unions and others had been stimulated by Dahanayake and Philip Fernandez.
I don't think so. But of course, one of the earliest important acts of the SLSP government was the making Sinhalese official language. That is the thing. When Sinhalese were made the official language, the Tamils were shocked. Tamils were opposed, Tamils were all. Number of people came from Jaffna and they couldn't enter the state parliament. They squatted on the green, the dots of green. And they started and some Sinhalese were supposed to attack them. I don't know how far that is true. We were inside.
Yes. I can remember that.
Yeah.
And that fired off troubles in Galloya.
Yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm. What about 1958 itself?
Coming right.
Yes.
You know, actually I don't know. Nobody knows how it happened. What we have got to, at a certain given time, the slightest thing is enough to give rise to a big flare.
Mm-hmm.
What we need that it was actually worked up by some enemies of the government, single centers.
Mm-hmm.
And then the
enemies being right-wing elements or left-wing elements?
I think the UNP elements. Mm-hmm. They went on, went to various places, put in national, so-called national dress, and talked to various people at various junctions and things like that. And the thing, all of a sudden, within one day, flared up and all the committed murder and all those things. And Kalam itself, it was brought down immediately. If Mr. Bandaranaike had done that, like the present government, when they wanted to cut down the rice session, they created an emergency and then did it. Mr. Bandaranaike didn't do that. He had to bring in an emergency after that, after things happened. By the time of Dhamma Jyoti had happened.
Did you feel that he brought in the emergency a bit too late?
Mr. Bandaranaike also thought there must be an emergency for me to declare an emergency. I can't declare an emergency without an emergency. That's what he thought. But by the time it happened, all these things happened. The Tamil house, the Tamil people were broken into, and they had no place to go to, and the hotel, this Guru Hari Hotel was set fire to.
isn't it correct to say that as Minister of Home Affairs, yes, you received alarming reports from the GAs?
Yes.
And you decided to go and see Mr. Bandaranaike and
yes,
suggest that?
Yes, right. Okay.
What did you say to him?
I told him that something has got to be done immediately. Immediately. Mm. Immediately, because the situation is getting out of hand.
Okay. And what did he say?
And then he recommended the cabinet and got to the power of the emergency.
But didn't he, even before that delay, he said,
yes,
no, it's all right.
Yes. No, what he thought
when
was,
you first went?
Oh. At first, he never thought that there would be trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Never thought. Nobody thought there would be trouble.
Mm-hmm.
It is only when I started getting all kinds of messages from various places, you know, that I decided to do
it. Is it correct you went and you took with you one of these clubs with nails in it?
Yes.
To show that it had been prepared for some time?
Who?
One of these battens which
yes,
had got
yes,
nails set
yes,
inside.
Yes, yes. Yeah, that's one way. That's one way.
You took that?
Yes. And you know, at a certain stage, mm-hmm, you see, when it got into hands of rowdy and their idea of rowing, I was returning from Horana with my wife in the car. Returning from Horana. And I need to take the Chepstow Road. I don't know if you are familiar with that road.
Mm-hmm.
When you pass Piliandala, you see, there's a certain stage where there are 30 feet on both sides and there are no houses at all. For about half a mile or so, there's a culvert on the middle of the road. On the culvert, there are about 50 or 20 people standing there. You see, cigarette people standing there and they asked us to cut the car. So I didn't know what to do. So I was alone, I knew what to do. But my wife said, I don't know what to do. Before I had time to think, my driver speeded up the car at me as much as he can. He simply passed the culvert in a flash. He already set on the precise. Now, supposing we stopped the car, those fellows would have come to us. And very likely, before we had time to speak, about 25 people surrounded the car, they would have come to some point and said, that's my wife, necklace or something else. And she would have sort of screaming and the rest of it. Finally, only they would have asked us, who you are. I hear that a game the adapted was, when soon as you meet a person, ask him to recite a verse,
mm,
you see, similarly stanza, rata. Then the man is so excited, he didn't know what to do, he started hammering.
Do you think that in some areas,
yes,
this was planned?
Yes.
Was this prepared?
Well, there is no evidence that effect, quite possible, might have been possible. Some places might have been prepared. No, I can't imagine how a place like Gwari had such a trial and the preparations that were done. And all these Tamil people, these houses like Mr. Skandaraja's house, registered at the time.
Mark Tosano.
Yeah. And all the Vellavat, these Mamlavati, all those houses were attacked, and they had to run away with the clothes that they were wearing. And they were all huddled in at the Mamlavati temple. I went to see them. I knew some of them personally. So, Mr. Sri Skandaraja, please, the situation is not under control. Please, the best thing is immediately you must set up to Jaffna. That's the only place where we can be sure. We are supposed to be sure. We are leaving all our things there. So, I then spoke to Mr. Mandaranaike. I said, how are we going to see these people at once? So, we had to go to borrow a ship from one of these shipping companies, the David one. And we put them on the ship and shipped up to Jaffna.
Leaving that subject aside, I was interested in one or two special features of the SLFP period.
Yes.
Why did Mr. Iriagula leave the party?
Who?
Mr. Iriagula.
He was not doing a ministry. He went to Mr. Bandaranaike, both in the family well. He was my party member. He was a minister. So Mr. Bandaranaike said, what can I do?
Hadn't he promised him one earlier? Before 56?
No, I don't think he promised. I don't know promise. Mm. So, no need for him to promise. When there's a vacancy, I'll certainly consider.
I think he wanted the education.
Education, mm. I think so, at that time. Quite possible. Dana is a wonderful education. If you give me an education, I'll give you an education.
What led to the
split in the cabinet, and what led Philip Gunawardena and William De Silva to leave?
That is, Philip Gunawardena started playing his theater in the cabinet. He is in such cabinet, Mr. Sampra. He is in such a stand with Eva. Ram discussion, we had to take cabinet meeting at Mr. Bandaraga's house, right in 1770. This is happened on account of the utter incompetence and stupidity of the Minister of Finance. That got up and raised a chair and Philip Gunawardena also standing up and started the fight, and Mr. Bandaraga, please, gentlemen, please, you are ministers, just punctual minister, you are not rowdy. Fight it down. So at one stage, in 1959, I had to go to England. The Commonwealth Parliament Association invited four or five members from our Parliament Association to London, and I was asked to lead this delegation. Myself, Vaninayaka, Rastani, I was also went at that time. Vaninayaka, myself, Mr. Dhanapala of Madras, who represents Akurasya sometimes, himself, and somebody else, I forgot who was the other one. So all of us went. Okay. So on the way, inside the plane, I was thinking, I was not happy on the trip. I knew the situation here. Good. So I said, what's the matter with you? You are not personal. I said, I'm not happy about the situation at home. And I'm going. And I'm home and thinking. I said,
this is Dharnayakala.
Dharnayakala, that's Dharnayakala. So the other people also said, what is the trouble? I said, I can't tell you what it is, but I feel that the situation is not too good. I went to England, I was there only for 6 days, then for 1.5 months. All our program was made by the Parliament Association there. So I was only for 6 days I was there. Not even six days. I went there on the 3rd, on the 9th I get a telegram. On the 9th, I was at Oxford. The whole delegation had gone to Oxford to visit the university. We were lunching at the master of the Jesus College with him. We had lunch. And somebody bought it, the Times of London newspaper, one of the people who were lunching with us, went out to me. The short paragraph says, Ceylon minister do not cooperate with the Prime Minister. What is it? I said, I don't know what it is, it must have happened. We're not going to tell them anything. Something must have happened after I left. I don't know what it is. We were lunching, and before we finished the lunch, our High Commissioner from London faces me this place, and he said, "But the Prime Minister wants you to back at once." So immediately I got out of the car, and I apologized to the master. These are the gentlemen here. He forgive me. Yes, no, yes, he understands it. Yes, that's all. So I came to London. Had the plane that day, sir. So following that, I got the plane, came here. And I came here. Ministers were friends with the Prime Minister, and Prime Minister knew that what the ministers were doing, all this time.
There was virtually a strike, no? They refused to attend the cabinet meeting.
They were insisting that Philip Gunawardena should be dismissed.
Who were the leaders of this group?
My friend Stanley, I think, like this chap, Raji Saranayaka, Stanley was the leader.
C.P. and Dhanayaka?
Who?
C.P. De Silva?
C.P. De Silva was not here at the time. He had gone to England for treatment.
Dhanayaka?
Dhanayaka also was on that side.
So you would have been caught in the middle?
Yeah. So when I returned, the situation was... one of the ministers came to the airport in England. Friday, there is a lunch at Adi Sennayaka's place. All these other people are there, and they want you also to come for the lunch. I said, my dear, it is Sarat Vijayasinghe. my dear Sarat, whatever I may go, whatever I do, I must see the Prime Minister first. Till then I can't talk. But anyway, I'm sure Prime Minister has nothing to say about the lunch. Well, I'll come for the lunch. Don't expect for the lunch, but sometime or other I'll come. So I went to see the Prime Minister in his office, where not there, 1 hour somewhere. Came to his home. Then he came for lunch at about 1 o'clock. Thank you, we are very happy to see you, and then we go. In a nutshell, he put the whole situation to me.
What was the situation?
The situation is that he's very demanding that the situation has to be dismissed. It can't be done for more reasons. For me, this decision must be some reason. I don't know, should have gone against the party policy or cabinet discipline or something like that, something like that. So it's not possible for me. Now, they have boycotted the cabinet meeting. I said, all right.
So what did you advise?
So I told him, well, I have to meet these people. I have been met for lunch to Adhisar Nayaka's place. Please go. Don't talk, but try to find out what they are talking about. So then I left it. By the time I went, I came home, had my lunch, and went. And then these people were told of me. I told him, I said, whatever I'm doing, I think, whatever you may do, I also don't like Philip. Philip has fought with me also. You know, you remember, he has fought with me also over two years of one moment. You see? But the business will do it. You think Prime Minister can, the business minister said, will, he can't do it. He's a constitutional Prime Minister, he's a thorough Democrat, you know it. Now I said that, you have got to meet him, I said. Then this sort of hide and seek won't do. You have got to meet him. He's already meeting for us. I said, all right. So I had a meeting. That day, sir, at 7 o'clock, remember, the first time after I left, the ministers were meeting the Prime Minister. Then we discussed the speaking and all that. Then it was there decided to take away some function from the Philip and some function from William. Philip, they gave him some other ministry, not agriculture. Or some one thing was taken.
Some department, I think, college coordination. Yes. No, a cooperative bank bill, wasn't it? That was taken over.
That was taken, and some ministry or department also was taken over. I remember from William Chilla, they took over fisheries. Uh-huh. And left him only with industry. So there, the Chilipurwangala got a family then. That was an insult. That was more or less like asking us to go. And how can we do that?
Did you all expect him to resign after doing this? Did Bandaranaike want to force him this way rather than chuck him out directly?
He did not want to sort of summarily dismiss him or ask him to take his portfolio away from him. He wanted to, he suggested this, I will do this. And if Philip does not like it, he will get out. So they do.
Did Mr. Bandaranaike have doubts about the value of having such a split? I mean, did he want to try and patch things up and keep this whole situation if possible? Did he want to maintain the grouping? Did he try his best?
No, he did not want to break the government at that time. Not maintain that. He was very anxious to maintain the government. That is, otherwise, there were several occasions when he himself, now, for instance, means for county elections came. Okay. I was organizing certain elections, and I want to put forward certain candidates for certain area. Philip Gunawagan wanted those three candidates. Very candidate.
Pardon?
It was very area. He wanted for his candidate. Well, I knew that his candidate had no chance. Okay. So I then told Mr. Bandaranaike. Mr. Bandaranaike said such a situation when the Bambal Pika Kirikuna man had left no chance. My candidate had a chance. And two or three others had. Then he said, I don't want to break the government at this stage just because of Mr. Bandaranaike. Give in to Philip. He had taken a letter to me. He said, I will give you a letter to this candidate. Let him go and see Philip and discuss matters with him, and Sir Gyan is coming from me to Philip. So manager, you do better, and you do with the result, Minister Council election, we lost, Philip was lost. We couldn't get a single seat. Philip was a good little single seat. Just that one.
Were you contesting each other then?
Hmm?
Did you contest each other?
No. We didn't want to contest. We wanted to contest certain seats. But Philip Gurwandan himself wanted those very seats for his six candidates.
So you let him have his way? Hmm. What were the other occasions when you clashed with him?
That was one thing. And he was always, he felt that he was trying to score higher over the others, not the shutters. There's no candidate.